Fire Up, are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to the ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try. Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Hey, Chris, and the rugby league world and people in general, how prescient that 20-odd years ago, we would predict that we'd be opening up a whole episode. What was that noise, by the way? Is that Desi banging on the wall? That we would know that Manly would be slumped at eighth position. Chris, amazing.
It's as though Nostradamus had turned his mind to the great game of rugby league, Stephen. And he's got it bang on.
Haven't we? That sounds like the rear end of Desi, doesn't it?
That just sounds like Des has like having a nightmare.
Broadcasting under construction as we speak, and doesn't add a bit of colour, Chris?
It does. A little bit of sonic movements.
And you know, if that had any impact on my brain, I'd be calling Peter Fitzsimons straight away. Really, I hope it's not going to do some damage. Hey, listen, Chris. Grave concern that we have here at Fire Up. Grave concern. I just looked at the ladder, Chris. Number one, Cronulla Sutherland. Number one. Number two, the Melbourne Storm. Does it get any worse?
Yeah, Canberra 3, North Queensland 4th. I have absolutely no affinity identification with any of those clubs, Stephen.
Yeah.
And I feel emptier than normal.
Right, and to make you feel even more empty, the wrestler's back, apparently, officially.
Well.
Or it's coming back.
Well, I mean, that's part of the debate, Stephen, was the wrestle back on the weekend? Because if it is, then others are going to continue to bring it back. And that is your worst nightmare, isn't it, Stephen?
It's been a pox on the game, Chris. It has really soured my love of rugby league. And, short of erasing some of those teams, every coach is going to do it once they notice.
Given the game is more than 100 years old, and most of this is attributed to the Melbourne Storms,
yes.
Why did it take them so long?
Yes, exactly, Chris. Yeah. What, were people so gentlemanly, you know? Is that the
Was there a code of conduct code in rugby league that we're not familiar with because we're too young?
I very much doubt it. And, Chris, finally, I want to sort of make an announcement that Cinderella is dead. We'll get to that later in the show.
Oh, wow, that's bad news.
Fire up.
Chris, there was a couple of games of colour in rugby league. Thank Christ for that, because there's been no atrocities.
Yes.
There's been some slinging, mudslinging. There's been some name-calling. There's been a whole lot of, reputation is tarnished and trashed.
Aspersions cast, though some people think that it's nasturtiums.
Nasturtiums, I think that was the Barry Humphries, wasn't it?
And in rugby league, I always go, is it a boom player or a boon player, that young rookie? I'm never quite sure.
Is it boon or boom?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Now, down in Australia's capital, there was a great game, but we missed most of the action, didn't we? Most of the colour was in the tunnel and at the press conference.
I thought you were making a reference to the fact we were putting on the sold-out party at the National Arts School, Stephen.
Ah, yes, indeed, that's a good point.
And it was a good night. We went thank everybody who came, and there were members of the Fire Up community who joined us. That was greatly appreciated.
Crossover is working.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you would normally go, like whilst we were somewhat disappointed to not be able to watch the Dragons v Tigers, you generally go Raiders versus Titans. It's not a must-see appointment television, is it?
No.
But turns out it was. Turns out we missed something.
Yes, indeed. Lee.
Yes, it's stadium stench.
Yes. I mean, we got to get him on fire up, Batman.
No, what the based on his judgment yesterday in the very, very unfortunate case, and let me tell you, if the Macquarie Dictionary does not include the word omni-shambles in its next edition, something's wrong.
Well, that could be the next holdout theme. Omni-shambles. But it's a genre, isn't it?
The very little I've seen, the NRL judiciary is a snooze fest.
Yes.
It's the type of legal proceeding that would send a former president asleep
in
their own court case, Stephen. We need Michael Lee in there heading up the NRL judiciary.
And every week, 384-page response?
I'm sorry. Mr. Robinson, your defence of Jairoweera Hargraves, sorry, let's say in this case, Dominic Young's high tackle as being in the jaw but below the shoulder, that's like trying to gather a cloud of smoke.
That's right. Was it heard? No, gather it. He's good.
He's great.
He's good. Now, down there, of course, we could talk about all the colourful characters, but really, does the blame land at Mrs. Badger being the referee on the day? And obviously, that's where blame will tend to land.
You would certainly hope not, Stephen. You would certainly hope that there is a broader culpability, and I think we'll hear from, at least hear the words of hard-running Graham Annesley a little bit later in this discussion.
Hard-running?
Yes.
Not cool running.
No, hard-running, as anointed by Des himself, who is good with an appellation, be it Voldemort or whatever.
So who are the two coaches on the day?
So you've got the coach of the Canberra Raiders, Ricky Sticky Stewart.
And can I just declare right now, from what I've read over the weekend, he's back. The game's greatest thinker is back. There's no doubt about it. No one can compete with him in his language.
Because you've identified some evidence of his... Well, because he's given us some intellectual grunt already this year in his press conference where he explained to us all that Canberra was the capital of Australia.
Yes.
Which is true. I looked it up.
It is true. Do you want to hear some of his talk?
Please.
Okay. He's learned a new word. It's called processes, right? And that's a word, of course, every coach must know. Every sports person must know that one.
Do you understand this theory, Stephen?
Well, he goes, processes are important to maintain, follow, know. It's sort of like a Zen process. He said it's also a beautiful new word that coaches love, including himself. He said you could also substitute scenarios. I think he was trying to explain to him what he just learnt just to make sure he got it right.
Well, trying to distinguish between a process and scenario can be challenging.
Yes. He said in the heat of the moment, processes allow new players to, quote, ride the learning curve in a positive way. See, that if that's not the game's greatest thinker, I don't know who is. I know we say Robbo could be, but Robbo's been, dare I say, tarnished this week.
Well, let me tell you, in a week where judicial processes and...
has ruled.
...civil levels of acts being proven,
Chris,
Robbo...
On the balance of probability, Robbo, I think, has lost a few points.
Yeah, on the balance of probabilities, Robbo's on the wrong side of the ledger. But if Ricky's referring to new names, he's got names like Chevy and Strange in his team now.
Yes.
It'd be great to amalgam those two if you had Chevy Strange. But... this is modern parlance, Stephen. You grew up in an era where the coach would come in and go, we got to win, we got to score more points.
Points on the board, look at that.
That is outcome, that is result.
Yeah.
The modern coach focuses on process. If we do the processes right, boys. If we run the scenarios, scoreboard takes care of itself.
Has Ricky got someone in his ear?
Oh, well, look. If he hasn't, he's derelict because as we're establishing, everyone's into the mindfulness game these days.
Yes.
Be it Robbo with his long-term relationship with Bradley Charles Stubbs, the coach whisperer, Hugh Van Kylenberg and Billy Slater in the Queensland camp, that guy over in North Sydney has been working with Anthony Seibold.
That's right.
You know, those sorts of people.
They've all got them.
So far, all we've seen in recent months in the Canberra dressing room has been Alan Jones, the parrot.
Yes.
But
and then he fled.
He's been unavailable.
Yes.
So Ricky's obviously got someone new in because there's no way that Alan Jones go, the secret to good rugby league is process and scenario.
No,
it's just not in his lexicon.
And can I say, when you've got two old curmudgeons.
Coots. Two old men shaking their fists at clouds in the sky.
You've got to assume that they don't need psychological wingmen. They're tough buggers. They're thick-skinned. They've been through it all before. They'll come back out on top again, though one of them is struggling and one of them isn't.
If you want to understand, because the other convention to whom you refer, of course, is Titans coach Des Hasler.
Yes.
Is his full name Desmond? Have we ever established that?
You know that song, don't you?
Yeah.
The Deseralites.
Yeah, the Deseralites and Desmond Decker. If you want to understand the forces of play...
Oh, I don't understand.
Ricky, for God's sake, keep it down. the forces at play here. I recommend you go see Godzilla Kong, The New Empire.
Right.
Because you've got these two almost mythological leviathans going at each other.
Yeah.
And they're pawns on the field, 21-20 to the Canberra Raiders. That's just the beginning of it, Steve.
They're mavericks, aren't they, Chris? They do it their way. What's the song at their funeral? Come on. You know it's what.
There'd be the Sid Vicious version, though.
Yes, exactly. They're quirky, too.
Oh, well.
And that's Desi, especially.
That's what makes them lovable. It's the quirks. It's the differences. It's the points of emphasis that you don't see in the cookie-cutter coaches, Stephen. I mean, Seraldo, has he got anything? No. All Seabold's got a voice like this.
He's dry and cool, Chris.
There's no frippery. No embroidery.
No colour. No motion. No.
No. You could. My understanding is that there are two people, one at Australian National University, one at Bond University, who are doing psychological theses about coaches Stewart and Hasley.
Theses or theses?
A thesis. Yeah. That there's that much in it, Stephen. There's that much in what we can learn from these men.
Right, right. As the game's greatest thinker, does he really need a wingman, Ricky? Maybe he's just doing it all on his own.
Well, he had Joseph Tarpany, his captain, sitting next to him.
Michael Lee as well?
Not yet.
Not yet.
And he was kind of chipping the fact that Des had Brett White sort of sitting with him. He goes, look, don't get me wrong, Des and Brett doing a good job coaching them. Maybe he's a little bit dismissive. He doesn't need any help. Hasn't won any comps either, mind you, lately.
No, that's right. Well, let's talk about that because I want to say, should we be careful in watching Desi?
What do you mean by being careful?
Be on watch?
It depends. I think if we have a listen to Ricky Stewart now, we're going to find out that we're probably going to need a telescope.
Can I just bring up a couple of things?
Yes.
You mentioned some of the losses. He's in the midst of a 9-game losing streak, including his first two matches with the Titans. It is the worst losing streak of his long career, with his last victory coming in round 18, 2022, against Newcastle. In the past 9 matches, Hassel's teams have scored 6 points or less 5 times and conceded 28-plus points in 6 games. That's bad news.
It is bad news. I think they've lost their first 6 games in this competition by an average of 28 points. It's never been done before. It's never that bad.
Wow.
Might have tightened up a little bit after last week's game. But
So Ricky's really putting on the screws, isn't he?
Ricky's putting on the screws in terms of the win. I mean, there was a consternation. Now, a lot of people think that Dez's main beef was the field goal attempt that was charged down by debutant Chevy Stewart, different spelling,
claiming he was offside.
He was offside.
Yeah.
And then Ricky certainly retorted. First of all, we should hear the first part of Ricky Stewart's retort and what he feels about Des Hasler at the moment.
Des was fairly critical of the refereeing. He said talked about a lopsided penalty count, 10-1 in 6 agains, and then reckons that the charge down was offside.
He's on another planet, mate. If he's critical of the 6 agains and the penalties, he's on another planet. I just said he coached well. Him and Whitey coached well. But the way they cheated when they were standing with hand on the ball, holding over the ball, the way they cheated on the ground. If we want to go back to last year or the years we've had, no worries. We'll start wrestling and we'll start cheating up high too. The game's been going real good.
Real good.
That type of wrestling ruck.
Real good, Chris. Now, that's a minefield there. First of all, claiming he's a cheat many times, and he's on another planet.
Yes.
There's much food for discussion. I mean, really, who is on this planet? What planet is it? What is it called?
And he might be adding new words to his vocabulary, but he's still speaking in old English.
Is it a literal planet? Another planet? Does he come down every week, with Astro Boy or whoever?
Well, that's why I'm suggesting we need a high-powered telescope to be on watch for Desi, because he's
that weird. He's that eccentric.
That's right.
Go to your own planet, son.
And what you didn't catch on that audio was an F me at the beginning of this. I mean, so Ricky was incensed that Des would question the quality of the refereeing.
Yes, Mrs. Badger.
Given the output that was coming from the Titans in terms of they were desperate, they're holding down, they were wrestling, Stephen.
How do the numbers stack up?
The 6 agains were 10-1.
10-1.
Right. And there was an issue with offside penalties we'll come to as well.
In favour of who?
In favour of the Raiders, of course.
Of course.
But the interesting
thing... Home ground advantage, Chris.
The interesting thing is, everyone thinks that Ricky thought Des is on another planet because of his comments about the refereeing, but here's really what got Ricky's goat.
More.
How did you find a way to... I mean, you looked borderline dead and buried and you found a way to get right back into the game. How did you do that?
Resilience, a lot of grit.
What did he say that, Chris?
They lost, Stephen. 21-20.
Yeah.
We have proven this year that the only teams who are entitled to say they have resilience and grit are the winners.
Are the winners. And that, where's Manly? On eighth.
that's what's got Ricky's goat. That's why he thinks
sorry,
on...
Sorry, I meant Titans.
Yeah, well, Des used to coach
Des
Manly.
Manly, and, yeah. And have a guess. It's imprinted in my brain.
And have a guess who he's got this week. Manly.
He hasn't.
So this is what got Ricky fired up. And listen to this, not implied, but overt threat from Ricky as a result of his assessment of the Titans' performance. Mm.
But if he thinks they got hard done by Casey tonight, he's on a completely different planet. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to be making sure I ring Jared tomorrow to find out who's right or wrong there. Because I thought Casey did, under pressure, she did a really good job tonight. We should have got another 10 or 12 six against. So if we're going to go back, the game's been a good spectacle this year at the start of the year. If we're going to go back, and I'll be asking Jared, if we're going to go back to that, what happened tonight? Fine. We'll do an extra wrestle session with Joshie Miller every week.
Chris, well, just to explain, what is the authority of Jared?
You were thinking Wirra.
First name notice too.
You were thinking Wirra Hargraves, right? Red Miss Merchant, etc.,
right,
etc.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he's
yeah.
referring to Jared Maxwell, former referee, now responsible
right.
for the referee's carter.
Right.
And if you want to, as they say, go to the dictionary and look under the definition of backhanded compliment, I thought Casey was fantastic out there today. We should have got another 10 or 6 again. It's a bit of a pile-on.
What does that sort of say about her actual work?
Yeah.
Not well, what should have been.
No, well, so far you've got both coaches being in the end, whilst one was praising her.
Yeah.
Incredibly critical, which seems, dare I say it, hypocritical. But the threat that he'll bring back the wrestle must absolutely chill you to the bone.
Says here in black and white, Chris, the wrestle is back.
It's like it's 2000 all over again.
He coached well, but the way they cheated with hands on the ball, we've heard that, the way they cheated on the ground. They want to go back to last year, keep saying, threatening, we'll get Jared in. We'll start wrestling. We'll start cheating too, says Ricky Stewart. Now, that's ominous, Chris. That's dark, dark clouds on the horizon.
It's really ominous because rugby league has been divided between 1908 and 2000 or 1999 as what we would call BS. Before Storm.
Before News Limited.
Might be 98, actually, on reflection. Then AS, after Storms. And we thought we were getting back to some BS in rugby league. And it looks like we're all the way back to AS.
Yeah.
It's not good, Stephen. And the question is then begged, what planet is Desi on?
Yes, well, we were questioning that, you know. Is it a theme park? Is it really just a place where they go to keep them under lock and key? You know, like a lot of people that... Troubles just don't need to be out in the street, you know? Or is that actual another planet? And who's there? Jack Nicholson, maybe, when the film from Mars, you know?
Total recall.
David Bowie, is he up there?
Mars Attacks. All right, well, I'm actually thinking of something along the lines of Planet Desiwood. So it's a theme restaurant.
It is a theme place, right?
Theme restaurant on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
You walk in, there's a lot of memorabilia there. You've got the door that Des ripped down in the Manly dressing rooms. You've got the number of barbers who retired in frustration trying to address the Des mane.
Yes.
You've got the...
All the technologies used.
All the ENT, the ear, nose and throat surgeons who have tried to work on that
voice.
Gravelly voice. And you've got the beaten down Bulldogs who he took to grand final glory on zero occasion.
That's a busy place.
It'd be quite a restaurant.
What's the food like, Chris?
Well, it'd be, you know, the kids like going to those sort of theme restaurants where, like, the drinks come out in test tubes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all like...
I'm assuming it's all you can eat, too.
That's right. It'd be all you can eat and everything's served in test tubes and beakers and Petri dishes.
Question.
Because he's the mad professor.
Zach Lomax, who's the talk of the town, is he living in Flano Land? Is the food no good? Is that why he's gone to Brad and Michelle's local diner and not Desi's? Is it all about the food?
I think we've established that the Arthurs, when they had Zach Lomax over for dinner, they ordered out, they got Providore in.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there
I
was
didn't
a
know that.
There was a sort of a Neil Perry thing laid on.
Must be nervous, hey?
There's no way that Lomax would go for theme park room food,
right.
Stephen.
Wow.
I'm not a fan of rugby league, but I love fire up.
In the end, was there any sort of fisticuffs?
Well,
at Canberra, in the tunnel.
So, supposedly, Des, after he's unloaded, because they're mates, Stephen, he's gone into the tunnel where Ricky was in the rooms having beers with a couple of his mates and said, oh, I just have a quick word with you, Ricky. And Ricky comes out and goes, what's going on? And he just said he unloaded.
I'm not a fan of rugby league, but I love fire up.
And then Ricky's responded, well, can I just say it on the podcast, season? Yeah. Ricky's responded with, fuck you. And he says, I'm really going to go and give it to you, as we've now heard.
Yeah.
And this, to me, is what is called a heated exchange, Stephen.
Yeah.
And my understanding of biology, which is pretty rudimentary, is heat exchange is what keeps us going.
Yes, yes.
It's the heated exchange between the likes of Hasler and Stewart that keeps fire up going. So we're very, very grateful. I also think that they might want to redesign rugby league stadiums.
Yes, yes.
Because tunnels seem to be trouble magnets.
Right.
It's enclosed, the heat's captured.
Who should we... I mean, obviously, we've expressed concern for Desi's state of mind. He's obviously a bit upset, potentially. But they're two old curmudgeons. They're two old eccentrics. You know, of course, they understand each other. They get it. We've discussed Casey Badger. Is she okay? She's good?
Well, I'm certainly hoping that she's got a table in a private area in Planet Desiwood, because we need to be concerned about her welfare, because it got worse, Stephen.
Yeah.
Because hard-running Graham Hannersley did his Monday Madness press conference, where I always think he's speaking to nobody off camera, you know, and taking us through the videos. And he goes, yeah, we got that wrong. Chevy Stewart got out of the garage a little bit too early.
If
he
was
offside.
That's his real name, Chris.
That's right. And he said, as for the four offsides against the Titans to zero, I've forensically and scientifically reviewed the tape.
It didn't go to a coronial inquest, did it? It
didn't go to a coronial inquest. It went quite... He said the correct number of offsides that should have been ruled was 32 to 10 in favour of the Canberra Raiders. What a great game that would have been. And in a weird sort of way, he's on the Casey Badger pylon.
Yeah.
Because he said she only called four of the 42 offsides that actually occurred in our great game.
Should he be speaking out of court like this?
No, he shouldn't be doing that. And I don't think that this is a get-out-of-jail card for anyone, Stephen, where Graham Annesley said, these things get focused on because they happen at critical times. And they are critical decisions, And we should be getting them right. But get this, Stephen.
Yeah.
It's an imperfect game.
No way.
Played by imperfect players.
True.
Controlled by imperfect referees.
We all agree with that, Chris.
If he hasn't got a tie-up with Hugh Van Kylenberg's The Imperfects podcast.
See, he's got a psychological wingman, has he?
Oh, yeah.
Now, we also... Let's who do we really care about, of course? I'm going to know one of these two coaches that was known, of course, for kicking a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And a chair.
I think Ricky's winning, so...
And a cat on a chair.
The cat is safe. I know that Desi kicked a few doors down, but not a cat, right? So we want to protect the animals here, so let's make sure that we keep an eye on Ricky.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Keep that brain moving.
And with a correct penalty count, should have been 32 to 10 to the offsides. They should have had 26 against. And had they lost, oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm not sure we'd all be here today.
There's more colour coming here on Firelight.
I've had a couple of run-ins with this person in the past, and it's Peter Fitzsimons. It's the behaviour of a parasite. Nothing more than nothing less than the behaviour of a parasite. Now, for those people that don't know, what a parasite needs is a host to stay alive. And this type of behaviour is using our game and the very serious nature of concussion in order to stay relevant or alive. It's what a parasite would do.
And he is still alive. He is still alive. And isn't this the bigger battle, of course, is rugby league versus rugby union being played out writ large, of course, by media.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, Stephen. I think that one's over. I
think it's done. Done and dusted, right?
Yeah. I think the announcement today that Joey Manu is leaving rugby league to go and play in Japanese rugby is just a hoax.
That was it. You think really that Peter Fitzsimons is nearly the old bloke shouting at the clouds?
Has been for some time, Stephen. Yeah. And look, personally, that of course was James Graham, now resplendent in his retirement on his By-Round podcast.
Yes, yes.
And they were doing a fairly new segment for them, and this really gets my goat, Stephen, because we've had this in the works for some time.
Hate it when your goat is got.
It's been got. It's his idiot of the week segment.
Oh,
now, we've been working for months
and
on this.
And he's trumped us.
Yeah, and not only has he trumped us with the segment, our first nominee, of course, was Peter Fitzsimons.
Now, for those with long memories, will know that Peter Fitzsimons was our worst guest ever on Fire Up. He was so rude, and of course, we're not shrinking violence, Chris, that he was ordering his coffee and his croissants whilst trying to do some quasi shitty interview with us. Basically, putting the boot into rugby league. Thanks very much.
I was listening. I think he ordered Vegemite toast from memory, like, because he's an everyman, right?
Right, yeah.
And when I had the opportunity, when Brett Oaten decided to hang the boots up low those many years ago, and I went in for
flags at half mast, right? Right?
That's right. I went in for an interview. I had to go through several layers of FBI radio personnel before I got to you.
Yes.
And basically you said, why should I consider you be allowed to join this show?
Yeah.
And I simply said, I'm not Peter Fitzsimons. And that's how I got on the show.
You're in. Yeah,
welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I do love the way that really there's now a competitor for the game's greatest thinker, and that is James Graham, right?
That's right.
For somebody to explain what a parasite is, I love that.
He's all around process and scenarios.
Yeah.
And this, of course, was him writing an article, Fitzsimons, I'm referring to James Tedesco, Stephen, after the 10th concussion.
And he's talking about our game, right?
It is our game.
Yeah. How dare he?
Remember, rugby league is no longer the greatest game of all, Stephen. It's the greatest game for all.
For all, yeah. Right. Yeah, our game is for everybody, but not Peter Fitzsimons, you're saying.
So in the Sydney Morning Herald a couple of weekends ago, Fitzsimons wrote a plea to James Tedesco, who suffered his 10th concussion in 13 years. Let me quote you.
Okay.
And Tedesco will then play on unless just maybe sanity might strike once more. Subtext, I represent sanity.
Yes.
Peter Fitzsimons.
Yes.
James Tedesco, can I have a quiet word?
A quiet word in your show like a year.
And this is, my blood is already boiling when I go to this next paragraph, Stephen. Mm-hmm. We've met only once, not that I expect you to remember.
Ooh.
Is there
a double meaning about that?
Yeah, is it humble, I'm not significant?
I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I'm not even a parasite. Or maybe I am a parasite.
Or is it saying you haven't got the capacity to remember? I think it's in very poor taste.
Yes.
Anyway, I've watched
you. Too soon, as they say, Chris.
I've watched you for years and I know you are a great player. Bang, first stamp, imprimatur. Peter Fitzsimons says I'm great, I must be great.
I will give you my little stamp of approval.
Correct. I've been tickled under the chin because Fitzsimons thinks I'm a great player.
Did he roll over, Teddy?
Well, I know one of the defining features of great players is the belief they are bulletproof, but mate, it's personal.
Mate. And Aussie.
I've only met you once, but I'm going to call you mate.
Mate. Yeah.
You need to think about this very carefully. Cordner and Friend knew they were bulletproof. I made them see the light. That's actually not written there, but that's what he's
inferring. And once again, what's that degree he's got? Isn't that one of...
You don't need a degree to be a journalist, do you?
No.
Okay. And he goes, mate, is there any chance you'll choose to break the pattern early, give your brain the respite it no doubt desperately needs and call it a day? You've done enough, Digger. Rest.
Digger as well.
Right.
Oh, my God. Now, your blood is boiling. He's got your goat.
Right. Now, there's a couple of things in play here. First of all, Fitzsimons has shot back. I'm not in a feud with James Graham. I've got nothing against the bloke.
No.
He's a good bloke. Somewhat confused.
And who is he really?
Yeah.
So confused?
He uses that to then imply he's been a bit knocked around. And he goes, and I stand by the great work I've done in reference to concussions.
Yes. Along with Professor So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so.
And ghostwritten books on the Anzacs. .. No,
I can't prove that. You invoke the Anzac spirit after Digger and Mate. He's
well,
done it too.
It's infused me.
Hello.
He's affecting me, Stephen.
How dare you and me.
It's affecting me. Yeah. But he says, I'll stand by the great work. If there's my great triumph, it's the work that I've done in this area.
If when I die, they came over my ruins. Yeah, right?
I really do feel like I've got things rattling in my head right now.
Then I'll be proud for that.
Right. But let's look at this. First of all, I agree with James Graham. If you look at what he's parasitically attached himself to, it's concussions, stadium policy, schools and hospitals, and Greg Norman.
Yeah.
And I look at the great white shark and I see a Lemora fish.
You see a nude man, don't you?
I see a nude man in a hat with a golf club, in a shower, with a big, whopping great Lemora fish with its suckers attached to him, wearing a red bandana, and that is that parasite Peter Fitzsimons.
And that's not pretty, Chris.
It's not a good image, Stephen. But what James Graham, and I don't want to speak for the great man, how could I? I couldn't possibly. as I said, this is a man that everybody fell in love with. And
look, he played for the Mighty Dragons. What can I say?
He did, yeah. And everyone fell in love with him when he bit Billy Slater's ear in the 2012
Grand
Final.
That's exactly right.
Everyone goes, oh, thank you. Thank you, God. Yeah. What he's reacting
to... So if I've done nothing except bite Billy Slater's ear in the Grand Final, I've done enough.
When they put him in the Rugby League Hall of Fame, that'll be the first thing mentioned.
In bronze. You know, right. Next to... We'll get to Todd Carney soon.
Oh, mate, that'll be great at one of the artificers.
We want that proper museum, don't we?
A hologram as you walk into the Hall of Shame. Yeah. With Billy Slater's ear being bit.
Forget Planet Desi Hollywood or whatever.
And you know what? You can walk around the hologram and it morphs from Slater and Graham into Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield's ear.
Wow, wow.
That is something.
With audio.
Oh, my goodness.
And crunch. You know the gristle of an ear, Chris?
I'm going to bite your ear.
And then there was the spit too, wasn't it?
That's right. And then apparently he's selling chewing tobacco in the shape of Holyfield's ear. Now, there's an opportunity missed.
What colour?
For the buy round. I don't think that's relevant, but for the buy round podcast, we need some Slater ear chewing tobacco.
Yeah. Okay, or what flavour then?
Or Jelly Babies.
What flavour?
And there'd be two types. There'd be the Jelly Babies in the shape of his ear and the Jelly Babies in the shape of a horse.
And a horse,
because he's an electric horse.
So the kiddies go... Okay.
But it's the hubris that Fitzsimons has that says, you know, all the players in the great rugby league cognoscenti don't know what to do with their careers until they get... Mate, can I have a quiet
digger.
Word? I stand with James Graham, Steve.
Yes, I do too.
We were worried a couple of weeks ago that there was no news in rugby league, and it's just all flared off. And it's not good works and social community and outreach and heartwarming stories. It's old-fashioned feuds, hate, anger, bile, and knocking on the roof.
You can hear them trying to get in here,
It's like the parademons are just outside trying to get in. Bring them in.
Wondering about the difference between a grub, a germ, a pest, and a cat, and a weak, gutted dog? Well... You've come to the right place. Welcome to Fire Up.
Now, look, talking of curses or you know, little tiffs, old Gran Torino himself, Cranky Wayne, is wreaking havoc at South again actually saying anything. By not saying, it's more Jason Demetrio, our heart goes out to you, you know, and didn't he look sad and forlorn in that dressing room the other day?
Very isolated afterwards, Stephen. Yeah,
I know that somebody was trying to put him out of his misery, and they're still trying. But well, geez, he looked alone.
He was where the plucky Rabbitohs were brave but beaten.
Plucky Rabbitohs.
Brave but beaten.
Yeah, and sorry, who's got a vendetta against Vermin?
Well, Mal Meninga.
Mal.
Because we
rightly so. Who wants rabbits running around the place and cane toads?
We thought all the rich...
Fire ants.
All the rich cabals reflected by the Rockefellers, a.k.a. James Packer, Russell Crowe and Cannon Brooks, that they were going to go on a Wayne Bennett, Des Hasler, funnily enough, Madge Maguire ticket. Yeah. We were close, but we were wrong, because the word is we're going to go Meninga into Bennett, curated by the art dealer Steve Nateski, right?
And he's another wingman, isn't he?
He's a total wingman.
But he's a Mr. 25%, isn't he?
Yeah, Mr. 25% for making the wheels get greasy.
Right.
And
between codes? Sports people, any types?
I mean, look at his track record. I will deliver Joseph Swahalihi to the Rabbits. He ended up playing for the Roosters and now Rugby Union.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. So we all thought, great, Mal coming in. This will be great for the game, the eyebrows, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And Mal goes, I know nothing about it. Right. And why I thought he'd
be... And isn't that a death knell automatically?
I think that means he's signed, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. And that Dimitri is on borrowed time. The main reason that Dimitri was not dismissed after the Cronulla game wasn't the resilience and grit shown by the Rabbits because they lost.
Yes.
It was that they got the memo wrong and the person who was meant to drop the bomb, the poison chalice, forgot to bring it. But Mal is perfect because he has a history in coaching Australian pests.
Yes.
Cane toads.
Yes.
Queensland. Kangaroos.
He's got a beef, hasn't he, really? He'll do it. But he doesn't like it. They've invaded this great continent and Mal's not happy.
Sees it as his duty. And then, of course... rabbits introduced species.
Yes.
And
remember the Americans trying to figure out rabbitos. You know, why would you talk about rabbitos with a funny spelling? You know, and why are they heroes? You know, well, the local area, of course, you know, were starving, poor little working bees, you know, working for the man from England, you know, out of stocks and out of jail, and suddenly we've got no food. Rabbitohs.
The thing that the Rabbitohs are forgetting here is that Mal's track record at Clubland when he was coaching the Raiders was appalling.
Yes.
It was like his political career. It was buggered.
Don't say that.
He's good at a rep level where he's got a whole cabal team of experts actually doing the X's and O's. And we might get what we thought we were getting all those years ago, courtesy of Rupert Murdoch and Super League, Stephen. You bring in Mal Meninga to coach the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Yes. He'll be forever known as Myxomatosis Mal because he finally puts the rabbits in their graves.
You're kidding. That's
I just want to dangle that carrot if I can, Stephen.
Okay. Well, we know South is still on the nose, much like Bunnings, Chris. Right? Latrell Mitchell, nowhere to be seen, of course, at the moment. But also Madge Maguire, of course, has moved into that position of coaching on a bigger level.
Yes.
New South Wales. It looks like he's dumping a few of the South players in readiness
to go and coach there.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think we can rule Madge out of the discussion.
Where? South?
Yeah.
No. I'm saying for the Blues.
Oh, you're saying he's dumping them from the Blues so that they're protected for when he goes
Cody
back to
Walker.
South.
I don't know what the motive is, but isn't Cody Walker?
Well, Cody's definitely
out of contention.
They're out of the discussion.
They weren't invited to the party, right?
And Campbell Graham might recover with his sternum injury, but he'll be definitely in great. This is interesting that Madge is not interested in South players for rep duties, and dare I say, Latrell Mitchell, in order to bolster his stocks when he goes and be the interim coach for South.
So what's everybody got against Demetrio?
They're losing, Stephen. That's pretty straightforward. They have a huge losing streak. And, of course, he's just a man, Stephen. Not like you and
what's
I.
What's he looking for?
We're not really men. But And you could... Not only was he cutting a
line... Does he make mistakes?
He's imperfect.
He's imperfect.
No. But how desperately sad was to see his 27-second press conference the other day, where he lasted 27 seconds. And it took my mind to 27 as a unit of time.
Well, also, it's a very unlucky number.
Well, look at all the people we lost out of the entertainment industry.
Was it Janis Joplin?
Jimi Hendrix. James Morrison. The great blues man, Robert Johnson. Amy Winehouse.
Nirvana.
Janis Joplin. Kurt Cobain and Jean-Michel Basquiat, Stephen. They all exited at 27.
Thank Christ, we've all gone past that.
Yes. If Demetrio survives this 27 press conference, I will be a monkey's uncle.
Well, that's all we needed from him.
It's all we need.
Loneliest man in the world.
Can you hear the drums?
Fire up.
Can you hear the drums, Demetrio? I remember long ago the rabbits had a bunch of wings. But you didn't win last night, Demetrio. You were proud of your team's effort, but you still lost to the Sharks. While the media banged their drums and named replacement coaches coming from afar. The board a meeting soon, Demetrio. Every hour, every minute seems another coach is named. I'm afraid they might give Madge a go. Now even Big Mel has said he'd have a short-term try. And it's really such a shame because you seem like you are just the nicest guy. There's been something going on that's dark at Head Front Park. Demetrio, the hounds are barking out for you to leave right now, it seems, Demetrio, cause nobody thought your team could lose so many games. And even though you're not the one that's playing, you'll get the blame, Demetrio. Yes, even though you're not the one that's playing, you get the blame, Demetrio.
I'm really proud that I get to represent these boys, our fans, our members, the staff, and I'm excited about turning it around.
You're looking older now, Demetrio. Feels like you've coached for many years, but it has only been just two. At least Rusty Crow and Elbow and all the players in your squad say that they still believe in you. And you only said last night how proud you were to coach this team. Let's hope you see it through. There's been something going on that's dark at Head Front Park, Demetrio. The hounds are barking out for you to leave right now, Demetrio, cause nobody thought your team could lose so many games. And even though you're not the one Demetrio.
Chris, look, as a postscript, you know, we do blame it on Wayne. It's Wayne's curse. He's left every team that he's ever been with damaged, including the Dragons. We'll talk about the Dragons playing your team, West Tigers, in just a moment. Geez, it's such a great relief when it's another team and not yours going through this drill about the coach. When we had Hook, it was just hell for years and years and years.
We lost our first 8 games last year, Stephen, until we went up to Bathurst and in the slop beat the Penrith Panthers, including Nathan Cleary.
Gave you hope?
A little bit of hope, which is dash. We got another wooden spoon. But we're back up to Bathurst. And we've got 2 wins under the belt, Stephen. I just feel that my step is a little lighter, a little jauntier.
Is that right? Well, we felt that the other night too. When we were too busy putting on an event, sold out. We had to miss the game until later. Though everybody told us the score during the damn party. We tried to avoid it like whatever.
Fire up.
So, Chris, I've got a bit of an issue with you.
Mm-hmm.
As I grew up, my father was a Western Suburbs Magpie supporter, and of course they merged with Balmain. And I have to say that most of my friends who are, even those that aren't rugby league fans, love the Balmain Tigers.
How can you not?
How can you not? You see what I'm saying? And famously, everybody's second favourite team. Lovable.
You know what I put it down to?
Tell me.
It's the colours, Stephen.
Oh,
the old 2 chevron, black V's on the gold. I fell in the romance of the sign with the tiger jumping over the rugby league ball.
You like that?
With a picture of Latcham Robinson in the foreground at Victoria Road with the league's club. It's like,
tell us more about the people you love. You know, Keith Barnes obviously passed away. Who do you really love? Who, like, obviously Benji now. Everyone loves Benji.
Keith Barnes definitely an incredible servant of the game and a wonderful gentleman.
What about Laurie?
Laurie Nichols was magnificent. I often tell the story. Laurie was at the merger meeting. He bawled his eyes out.
So not grit and
resilience.
Resilience?
No, he's crying like a baby. But he didn't want it to happen. But before the first game, which was Broncos versus Tigers at Campbelltown Stadium in the year 2000, he gave it his blessing and then promptly died.
Didn't you have a big year in the early 2000s?
Well, we were in second place halfway through the first year and then we missed the finals. But anyway, obviously Benji, I've got a very warm affection for Pat Richards, Chris
the flick
Lawrence.
Pass, of course.
Yes. Pat Richards has been on this show saying that he was thinking about it was my sponsorship that got him over the line.
Yeah.
As he pushed off Rod Jensen to score that try. But my favourite player, Stephen, if I summarise the romance of rugby league and why I'm here today, it's Larry Corowa. He was electric, Stephen. Yeah. Every time he touched the ball, he was on his feet. Our friend Patrick Skane has been on the show, wrote about Olsen Filipana. I could go on, Stephen.
What about the English imports?
Yes, well, I mean, Gareth Ellis in recent times, magnificent West Tigers.
Yep.
You go back to Andy Courier, as Laurie Nichols say, Andy is handy.
Great. Where's Ricky when you need him?
Dave Bolton, of course, in the 1969 Grand Final Premiers was a key part of it, Stephen. Yeah. You know, Lee Crooks,
didn't you have a fast wing at one point?
But let's not forget, again, my favourite imported player, Ellery Handley. Ellery eats celery.
Right.
We saw Ellery in the Royal Hall of Industries at a dance party on New Year's Eve, Stephen.
Shirt off.
And we go, there's Ellery. We're going to follow him. We lost him immediately.
Straight away.
Yep.
What was his nickname?
Well, that's a Black Pearl, I think.
The Black Pearl?
Yeah. Well, that was, and then Renoff.
Renouf.
And of course, that nomenclature has changed now.
Yes, it has,
But Ellery was just dynamic until he was capriciously taken out by Terry Lamb in the 88 Grand Final.
Exactly.
Stephen, you've got me going.
So you see how the heart just goes out, doesn't it?
Yes.
The most lovable team in the, not just Sydney, rugby league, but the world, right? Everybody loves it. And I want a jersey like that. But I've done some forensic research, Chris, on the reality or the fallacy of the, I quote, the Great Tigers Lovability Syndrome.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's not quite coronial, as we mentioned, that I could get Michael Lee and really pull this apart, but I'm just going to break it to you.
You've gathered a cloud of smoke, have you, Stephen?
That's right. It's been thorough, though, nonetheless, and it clearly shows that if the Tigers are not your actual team, they are guaranteed everybody's second favourite team. We know that. Why? Woo! Someone's getting angry at me, yeah. But the real point is, are they still deserving of such an exalted position in the hearts of leagues? Because I didn't notice this, Chris. I've missed something. Something has changed. It's not the Benji flick pass style. It's not the little Appy style either. Something's going on with the defence there. Who's your defence coach now?
Bomber Morris.
Well, that probably says it all, doesn't it?
Hang on. Is this academic research that you're quoting here, or is it something you've written yourself?
I'll find the papers for you, okay?
Please.
And I think Peter Fitzsimmons might have backed it up with his degree, you know?
So you're saying this is after the gig, you sat down, opened a glass of rosé, knowing the result, because it was foisted upon you at the sold out event.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got arced up about anything in particular.
And you know what I thought I heard? Cowbells. I thought I heard the sounds of cowbells ringing in my ear, because what I was seeing was reminiscent of those horrible, scandalous tactics that Melbourne, Smith and Bellyache have introduced into the game, much to the discredit and much to Ricky's horror as well.
And I understand you're embarrassed by St George Illawarra employing the wrestle, and that would have spoiled your enjoyment of the game, but just accept it that they're a spoiling team. Yes. And that's what you have to endure as a fan of St George Illawarra right now.
Right. Is that what you... Don't turn it back on me.
Oh, I thought that's what you're implying. You're not saying the Tigers were wrestling.
Yes, I was. I was saying they were doing some tactics that were thoroughly un-Tiger-like, unlovable.
If Graeme Annesley has proved that teams are offside pretty much in every play, Stephen,
yeah,
I believe you watch the game through a prism,
yes,
where every opposition tackle is infused with a wrestle, yes, and therefore a blood on the game. I don't think this is balanced.
I'm going to sit you down with Justice Michael Lee.
Yes.
We're going to get a stopwatch, and every time there's a tackle, we're going to count the number of times, the number of players, and how they peeled off it, and not very well. Not even like Cameron Smith brought in this beautiful method where no one went, well, has he done something wrong? Because it feels wrong. But no, they're doing it wrong, and it looks like it's wrong, and the referee went, nothing.
Are you saying, Michael, I'm going to remonstrate, and Michael Lee's going to look me in the eye and say, Chris,
yes,
you managed to escape the Tigers then,
yep,
but you made the mistake of going back for your hat.
And you know what he's going to say? Leave the hat. Don't go back. Ferris is just baiting you. And he's going to say, on the balance of probabilities, it's fair to declare that the Tigers are officially unlovable, Chris.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've got a Facebook page, Stephen. We've got a discussion group called Blowing Up Deluxe, which you can join as well. Why don't people put their opinions,
yes,
about this?
Because this is a new phenomenon to me.
Yeah, the dislikable Tigers. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying you can't turn it around, Chris.
Are you blaming Benji, by the way, or Bomber Morris?
Bomber.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, I think Benji's turning a blind eye here.
Okay, well,
because he wants to win. He needs to win.
He needs to win.
Yeah.
I, of course, have something in refutation, Stephen, which is if there's one team that we can make fun of, it's certainly St George Illawarra, and they've just been giving so much over recent years. Now, Zach Lomax is leaving, Stephen,
yes,
playing the best football of his life.
Yeah.
He's actually taking a pay cut,
yep,
to go to the Eels on $2.6
million
over
4 years.
And all
our fees are going, what is really going on here?
It's very, very strange.
He's playing the best he's ever played. Obviously, Flanagan's bringing out some good stuff in him. The money's better.
If only he left 3 years ago, imagine how good
he is. Is it the food down the Taj Mahal?
Yeah, well, no, it's the food at the Arthur's household, right, Stephen? But paradoxically, as Zach is leaving the club, Ben Hunt seems to be cementing himself in the club.
Yeah.
His best mate, Hook, was the reason he was going to leave because they were Rockhampton strong.
How did that go?
And he was gone for all money. Yeah. Now it looks like he's going to sign till the age of 40. And it's down to one person. It's the wit and wisdom of Shane Flano Flanagan.
Will you see in the hill? In Flano we trust. We didn't know he was funny, though.
Either did I. Let me give you some pearls of wisdom this week about Flano talking about said Ben Hunt. Regarding Ben's salary, he's got plenty. And just once, I'd love him to walk into my office with two coffees, not one.
Yeah. And doesn't he even double what Albo earns?
That's right. About Ben Hunt's damaged nose through all those bumps and bruises, Benny can smell round corners.
No, he did not.
On his background, the only knock is he's a Queenslander.
Of course.
Which does make it tough to love him.
Very tough. Not lovable, but successful.
But here is proof positive that Shane Flanagan could go out on the Chitlin circuit and do stand-up anytime he likes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying I'm the best coach in the business, but I know how to put a side together and how to win finals football. If that's not the biggest joke I've heard all year, Stephen.
I heard that he's been picked up by Hannah Gadsby, support act.
Something special with Hannah Gadsby and Shane Flanagan, the sequel. Something not so special.
I'd go to that. They do a double act at the end.
And Flano would allow you to actually get your phones out of the pouches because he says, I want you to put this stuff
put
on
it
Insta.
Out there.
Yeah. This, I'm not giving this to you for just the ticket price. I want worldwide fame. Oh, that'd be great. Wouldn't that be a clash, though?
Yeah.
Gadsby versus Flanagan.
And look, she is known for her surprises, so you never know.
The incredible thing is, having forensically looked at both personalities in recent times, Gadsby on the cover of Australian Rolling Stone this month, I think they've got a lot of common.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And
wow.
Don't be surprised if by the end of the season, as Van Kylenberg is to Slater, Gadsby to Flanagan.
We're going to win then.
You will win. talk about thinking outside the box.
On that note.
No, we've got a couple
of other
quick things to get out of our system, Steve.
Yes, we do.
First of all, Mitchell Pearce.
Now, redemption
and Todd
story.
Carney.
Redemption story?
Yes.
Yep. Like his father, I think he's a teetotal and everything's changed.
Correct? Yes, he's indulging the Muslim faith. Well, to his credit, he's just completed Ramadan, as I understand it.
Yes.
He's got a wonderful new partner he met while he was over in Catalans, and he's decided to give back, Stephen.
Right.
He and Todd Carney both have had checkered careers.
Both
have been fodder for this show.
Do they deserve to be in the Hall of Shame?
They are founding members, Stephen.
Yeah.
Patron saints.
Now we're talking funny? That's funny.
I'm not saying that your top three aren't Gaznia, Pierce and Carney.
And what's the pooch's name?
Bella.
Bella. Bella's got to be in the Hall of Shame too, surely.
Well, may she rest in peace. I don't want to go down the... Whether a taxidermist got involved there or whatever, we've got any chance. Yeah, okay. But anyway, but they've talking about... because you know there's a dearth of good halves in the game, Stephen.
Yes, I do.
So they're opening, potentially, a halves academy.
Too many fullbacks.
For Pierce,
not enough halves.
The Pierce Carney College.
Yeah.
The PCC.
That is a winner.
Yeah. Where you can come and learn how to be a halfback on and, dare I say, off the field.
Yeah, you get nippy.
It's just like...
fast and eyes up footy.
It's going to be something else.
Good at field goals, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you need a clinic, Chris, and an academy in this case. So that's wonderful news, exciting news. What else you got?
And look, finally, Stephen, no bigger fans of ours than Danny Widler wheeling his trade for the Sydney Morning Herald.
Can he anoint the game's greatest thinker like Buzz used to do?
Well, he's in the frame. Rob Field will give that mantle away
fiercely. That's right.
By the way, Dean Bullfrog Ritchie, there was a picture of four players after the Parramatta win over North Queensland, which is taken by a photographer, and they're all smiling. So Bullfrog's point is that the North Queensland players should be kicking stones. They shouldn't be smiling. He goes, why are these four players taking a selfie? I don't think he actually understands that a selfie has to be taken by one of the four players.
Has Buzz still got the banner, Club in Crisis?
Yeah, so that's been unfurled.
I thought it was supposed to go out with South.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got Cardinal Myrtle all over it.
All over
it,
yeah.
As he wheels around Kippack
Street.
Right
on grass, eh? Yeah.
But Widler, and his Sunday column is...
What do you say?
Unmissable, Stephen.
Yeah.
Panther Taylor May, you might have seen he's done the neck tattoo.
Taylor May.
Yeah.
Where do they get these names from, Chris?
They're made up, Stephen. They're like, you go to the same person.
Because you can, right?
You go to the same person who comes up with car names like Acura.
Because there are words. There are words, of course.
The Prado.
You can't touch officially. You can't touch, like, people of importance. The Queen, His Royal Highness, His Eminence, the Bishop, Priest. You're not allowed to use it. But you can use what... any other name you want.
Right, so he's tattooed, he's coloured in his neck, leaving the letters M-A-Y for May.
Yeah.
Thank heavens it wasn't Fisher Harris, because it would have been a lot more difficult.
How big? We're talking here, about 4 inches?
We're talking from chin to top of the sternum, Stephen.
Right.
Yeah, skivvy stuff.
So
he'd
need a Sean Connery jumper 1974 to cover it up, wouldn't he?
Puts on a T-shirt, he's got a polo neck.
Got it. Right. Yeah.
And he's been doing a video blog.
Yeah.
And Widler has described the video blog on Sunday as worth watching.
Ooh.
Well shot,
yes.
Insightful, and entirely wholesome.
That's a funny thing to tag on the end of a football player's vlog, is it?
Yeah.
Entirely wholesome.
In the Daily Astonisher on the Monday, Pamela Whaley reports, the Penrith Panthers are investigating a social media video by NRL star Taylor May.
Yeah.
Filmed from the inside of a luxury car appearing to do nearly 100 kilometres in a residential area.
Oh, yes.
Right. He's not driving the car. But the hired car, which was hired from Ruthless Rentals.
We're giving you a plug, are we?
Yes, whose tagline is, keeping it ruthless. That's what you want from a car hire company.
Not ruthless,
not keep
ruthless.
It safe.
Yeah.
Or, get you to your destination in one piece. It's ruthless
and
driving.
And do that burnout in a cul-de-sac at 160 kilometres.
So it's an Audi R8 Quattro, speeding it up to 96 kilometres an hour past school, right?
Oh,
and after almost reaching 100 kilometres an hour,
yeah.
The car drastically brakes as it reaches pedestrian crossing, with one passenger letting out an audible gasp, like we've been hearing from above, and another one can be heard saying, "Holy moly, brah!
Holy moly, brah!"
Right. So it appears to be travelling at high speed, passing cars in the opposite direction. It's now being investigated.
Did they say what suburb, Chris?
Well, let's have a look. It
southwest, dare I say?
I'd say it's in the general Penrith district,
Stephen. Oh, Penrith, yes, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But I guess, yet again, like rugby league, if it's Hasler versus Stewart, it's Nine versus News, the May blog, splitting the rugby league world apart yet again.
Yet again. When can we unite, Chris, as one?
When the Tigers win the premiership, Stephen, because they are everybody's second favourite team.
I'm just hoping Peter Fitzsimons is not a Tiger supporter, Chris.
And congratulations on your anointment, Peter, as Idiot of the Week. Stephen, late breaking news.
Oh, okay.
The first part of the season, we always do this show on our own.
Yeah.
And people have said, enough.
They've called, have they?
And we're happy to announce that authorities tell me, Brendan Cowell will be joining us on Fire Up next week.
Wouldn't that be a coincidence that they're sitting number one on the table?
Yes.
Wouldn't it not?
I know that.
When they're not, you know, Tim Freeman goes, oh, no, Manly aren't doing well enough. I'm not coming in. Same with Dave Faulkner. I'm not coming in. Oh, now they're doing well. Cronulla.
Yeah, up, Cronulla.
Yeah.
See you next week.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting round of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!